Thank you that you have given us grace, abundant grace, amazing grace, eternal grace. Lord, if we don't understand anything else today, help us to understand, even if we can't fully define it, help us to understand what grace has done. What grace is doing. And what your grace will do. Lord, if we have been saved, if we know you as Savior, then we are not the same as we once were. We are new creatures. All because of your grace. We live in a dark and a desperate and a dying world, but we can make a difference because of your grace. The foundation for our faith is grace. The only reason we are saved is because of your grace. Lord, help us to live in, to live by, to live through and with your grace. Open our hearts and our minds this morning to your word and to your truth. Guide us by your Spirit. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. So grace, the grace of God extended to us, is the foundation, is the saving force, if you will, behind everything. Scripture says that God is love, not that He has love, not that He practices love, but that He is love. And the love of God quite often is given or displayed in the one word we use, grace. So let's look at things today. What's God mean by grace? You can skip that. That should have been deleted. I'm sorry. The message that we're going to be looking at today, three passages of Scripture we're going to look at mostly. The first one is from Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, we're told this, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." So God is telling us here that the grace of God has brought salvation to special people. Who? All. Everybody. Now everybody will not receive that gift. A large percentage will reject that gift. But Jesus Christ died so that all might receive the grace of God. The love of God. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And that grace has appeared in the person of Jesus Christ. Why is it important that we understand Jesus is the grace of God? Because there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Amen? You are not saved by keeping rules and regulations. You are not saved by the amount of good works you do. God is not going to measure how good you were versus how bad you were to determine whether you get into heaven. The only thing that's going to matter is if you have received and applied the grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the only way any of us will ever get into heaven. It is all about Jesus Christ. Secondly, Ephesians 6, 8 through 9 says, "For by what? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now understand here, God's saying that we are saved by grace, not by works. But do not misunderstand what God is saying. You are saved by grace, but there will be works evidence of that fact. Amen. He's not saying that works don't matter, because works are evidence that you have been saved by grace. You get me? You understand what I'm saying? You are saved by grace, then you are made a new creature. That's what I was telling the kids this morning. You're made a new creature, and the works of your life, the actions of your life, the words of your life, the product, the produce of your life will be different. You cannot, understand me, you cannot receive the grace of God and be saved and still be the way you were before. It does not work that way. If you are the same today as before you said you met Jesus, then you never met Jesus. You may have heard the name, you may have walked an aisle, you may have filled out a form, you may even have been baptized, but you haven't truly met Jesus Christ. Because when you meet Him, He changes you from the inside out, and you are not the same person. The grace of God has been applied to your life and has made you a new creature. And you're going to be different. You're going to think different. You're going to desire different things. You will never, ever be the same again. And thank God for that. You are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not going to get to heaven because you've been so good. You're going to get to heaven because of the grace of God. Amen. All right, next verse. Say this with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We could say amen and go home. Now, we're not going to do that. But we could say that. That verse of Scripture, and everybody knows it. Even some unchurched people know that verse. Because if you had to condense, now I don't recommend you do it, but if you had to condense the Word of God into one verse, that's probably it. For God so loved, and the word love and the word grace is the same thing. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, caution. The word believe there is not a head knowledge. Because Satan, understand me now, listen to what I'm saying. Satan believes in God. You hear me? Satan believes in God and fears the demons. Every one of the demons recognized Jesus immediately. They knew who He was. They believe there's a God. If you believe there's a God, do you understand that doesn't put you any higher than Satan? Believing there's a God, that's good. But that don't do much good because Satan believes that. Satan doesn't deny the existence of God. He knows there's a God. Scripture says only the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Whoever believes, the word belief there means trust. It means a trust that you put your life into. Paul says, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed until that day. The grace of God. Three things we're going to look at today. First of all, the nature of grace. We talk about grace, but we talk about joy, we talk about love, we talk about peace, we talk about all these kind of things, but what is the true nature of grace? What are we talking about? How many of you have ever heard this definition of grace, the unmerited love of God? Yeah, and that's true. What does that mean? It means we receive the love of God when we don't deserve it. When we don't deserve it. I remember, and I don't remember what she had done, but I remember when Diane was little, she had done something and she knew she was in trouble. And she was talking to me and about whatever it was she had done. And I said, "I forgive you." And that's the end of it. And you could see that she was surprised. And I said, "That's grace, and I'm giving you grace." So even at that young age, she understood then what grace meant. Because she knew she should have got in trouble for that. But I gave her grace. God gives us grace. Unmerited love. We don't deserve His love. You know, and I understand when people say, "Well, you know, so-and-so didn't deserve that. They were a good person." I understand what they're saying from our perspective. And I'm not saying that when bad things happen, people deserve it. I don't mean that. But what I'm saying is we use a human standard a lot of times when we say people are good. But Scripture says people are not good. Scripture says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The grace of God is not just for those people we think need it. The grace of God is for everybody because everybody needs it. We're all sinners. The only difference if we're saved is that we have been saved from our sins. We're sinners saved by grace. Another definition of grace is the acronym God's riches at Christ's expense. The grace of God is imparted to us at great cost. The life of His Son. You're talking about somebody that didn't deserve it. Jesus did not deserve it. The Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ, is very intense. I don't recommend it for small children. It's very intense. And though there may be some parts of that movie I had a problem with, overall I think he delivered the correct message of the sacrifice that Jesus paid for you and for me. And not just a physical sacrifice, though that was should have been enough, you would think. But the spiritual sacrifice as well. You see, Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, three in one, never separated except for that moment on the cross when Scripture says the Father turned His face away because Jesus became my sin and your sin. That's the grace of God at Christ's expense. The nature of grace is that it is a love of God that transforms. Romans chapter 12, we talk about it all the time. Don't be molded into the world's way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The grace of God transforms us into a new creature. It's like the caterpillar going into the cocoon and a butterfly coming out. It's not even the same creature anymore. The nature of grace is loving the sinner, but not the sin. God hates your sin. God hates my sin because it killed Jesus. Because it will kill us. Because it will rob us of the joy that He wants to give us. Because it will prohibit us from walking in fellowship with Him. He hates our sin, but He loves us enough to die for us. The nature of grace is that it builds up. God's not trying to put you down. He's trying to build you up. Satan wants to tear you down. God wants to build you up. the nature of grace is that it is love in the truest sense of that. It can't get any more real than agape love. You know, we love all kinds of stuff. We love cars and this, that, and the other. Well, that's not all equivalent. But true love, real love, full love, abundant love, agape love, that's grace. That's grace. So that is the nature of grace. It's more than we can fully describe, and even maybe more than we can fully appreciate, but we know it when we see it. We know it when we experience it. We know it when God has given it to us. We don't deserve it, but God gave it to us because He loved us. We're talking today in life groups about, you know, why is God tarried coming back? I don't know. Except I can only tell you what Scripture says, that He is long-suffering, desiring that none perish. Now, there's going to be a lot that perish. But He's desiring of all coming to the knowledge of Christ. He's holding off for somebody. Maybe He's holding off for you. That's grace. Secondly, well, where does it come from? Well, that's an easy answer, isn't it? It comes from God. As a matter of fact, it don't just come from God. It is God. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. If you're a mathematician, you can make the formula there, A equals B, God equals love. He is love. Who is love? Maybe a better answer than what is love. Jesus Christ is love. Can you imagine what it would have been like to walk and talk with Him when He was here physically? It would have been beyond description. Why do you think He had huge crowds? Well, partly because He healed people. Partly because He fed people. But also because He loved them. Why do you think He healed so many people? Don't you think He would have got, humanly speaking, got tired of it? Because He loved them. Why does He hear our prayers? Because He loves us. The source of grace is the person of God, the nature of God. Jesus Christ is the living love of God. You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. What God talks like? Listen to Jesus. The whole thing is Jesus in the center. Jesus at the beginning and Jesus at the end. All through here. It's about, you meet Jesus in Genesis. It may not use the name, but that's what He's saying. All the way to the Revelation. Because it is about Jesus. The source of grace is focused on giving life to those who were dead in their own trespasses and sins. The source of grace is the love and the life of God. The source of grace is the Spirit of God living in us. Now listen to me. Now I'm talking about not just the grace of God that we receive, but the grace of God we give out. Because God saved us for a purpose, did He not? And we receive the grace of God for a purpose, do we not? And part of that is to overflow that grace onto other people. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. Oh, so-and-so at work just rubs me the wrong way. Well, I got to know so-and-so at work too. I understand. Sometimes that happens. But the grace of God still got to overflow. Amen? When people meet you, how long does it take for them to know that you know Christ? Do they ever know that you know Christ? Putting little fish on the back of your car is okay as long as you drive like you know Christ. You think I'm kidding? I'm serious. Don't wear a t-shirt if you're not going to act like it. I've told people before to take the t-shirt and turn it inside out. I did. The source of grace is God. It's Jesus Christ. His Spirit living in us ought to impart grace into us and through us and out of us onto other people. it'll slosh out on other folks. Thirdly, the product of grace. Ah, the product of grace. True life without grace, where would you be today? You'd be dead. Dead in your trespasses, just like me. In fact, where would everybody be without the grace of God? We'd all be dead. Since Adam and Eve would be dead. Satan would have won. Do you realize? Satan would have won except for the grace of God. The only reason you're alive today, spiritually speaking, is because of the grace of God. True life, the product of grace, is true life. Real life, if you want it, you got to have the grace of God. Or you're not going to have it. Also, true love comes from the grace of God. We love because He first loved us. We didn't love Him first. We love because He loved us. We can love others, even unlovely individuals, because He loved us. I'm going to step on your toes. He says, if I forgave you, you're supposed to forgive other people. Well, they never told me they were sorry. Did He say, forgive them when they say they're sorry? What did He say? He says, if I've forgiven you, if you want me to forgive you, you forgive others, period. That's the grace of God. Well, they don't deserve it. No, they don't. But I didn't either. The point's not if they deserve it. The point is it grace? Is it grace or not? You see, true life comes from grace. True love comes from grace. Well, Pastor, I can't love like that. I can't either, but Jesus Christ can. And if you've surrendered to Him, His Spirit will love through you. I don't know how that works. Well, I can't explain to you either, except as we surrender to Him, His Spirit does it. His Spirit does it. And then true light. Now, what do I mean by that? Righteousness in Christ. The salt and light of the world that God calls us to be. We can do that because of the grace of God. Because we don't have it in us. Now understand, I'm not saying that we're better than other people. I don't mean that. But what I mean is if we know Jesus Christ and we've surrendered to Him, we've received His grace, His Spirit's working in us, the fruit of the Spirit ought to be pouring out of us. And James tells us, in his little epistle, that if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there will be evidence of that fact. And all that's because of the grace of God. All that's because of the grace of God. You guys seen that? I think it's a Geico commercial. There's about 50 million different Geico commercials. But this one, I think, is a Geico where a kicker, a place kicker, is trying out for a professional football team. And how many kicks does he make? None. He hits the goal post or it goes wide or whatever. And the coach says, sign him up. And you can tell his assistant's like, what? Of course, Geico's saying, you know, or whoever it is. It may be the general. It's the general, isn't it? Yeah. Because they're saying they'll take you anyway. That's what it is, it's the general. But the truth is, God will take you just like that too. The good news, though, is that He's not going to leave you like that. He's not going to leave you like that. Because the fruit of a life given to Christ is going to be productive. It's going to look like Christ. It's going to sound like Christ. It's going to live like Christ. Because His Spirit empowers you. And listen to what I said. His Spirit empowers you to live like that. It's not us doing it. It's Him. So don't take the credit. It's Him doing it in us. Because the church in action is the fruit of the Spirit working through us. We live in messed up. That's Larry's vernacular. We live in a messed up time. You don't believe it? Just turn on the news. We live in a messed up place. People think crazy stuff. and do crazier stuff. The church is called to be the salt and the light. That's going to rub some folks wrong, and that's okay. Jesus rubbed folks wrong too. But he loved them anyway. People don't need to hear what we're against. It's okay to be against sin. I'm not saying that. But they don't need to know what we're against. They need to know what we're for. And that's love. Now, that's not a love that condones sin. It's a love that transforms a life. I'm not saying don't call a sin because we need to do that. We need to take a stand. We need to let people see the light and the love and the truth of Christ. If the church acts and looks just like the world, then it's not the church. The church needs to be different from the world. And I'm looking at the church. It's not the building. It's the people that make up the church. Have you experienced, have you received, do you know, and are you living the grace of God? Here's your compass point. If we have received the grace of God, that means there's been a time in your life when you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, to save you, to be your Lord and Savior. If you have received the grace of God, then we should be living testimonies of that grace. Amen. Your life ought to be evidence of that fact. You ought to talk different, walk different, act different, hang with different folks, be in different places. If you're not, then you need to have a checkup. The altar will be open, and you can do that this morning. Father, thank you for your love, for your grace, a grace that transforms and renews and restores, that gives life, that gives truth, that gives power, that gives victory. Amazing, amazing, wondrous, eternal grace in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord God, thank you, thank you, thank you for such marvelous grace. Lord, we're here today, we're still, and we're quiet in your presence. The question we need to ask ourselves is, have we received that amazing grace? And if so, what have we done with it? Father, work in our hearts your will and your way. Touch us, move us to do, to be all that you've called us to be. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. For what you've already given, what you give continuously today, what you'll give tomorrow. Lord, you're making a difference in our lives. Help us to make a difference in others. The altar is open. Father, work in our lives. Be honored and glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.